something this week or something in the last few weeks, or God is doing, has done, moving in your life. And you'd want to share it because testimonies are powerful. Testimonies are encouragement for those around you today. And so even though there's not a lot of us here today, don't let that go, well, it's a powerful testimony, but I'm going to wait until more people are here. You know, the right ones are here that need to hear it. So think on some things. I don't want to just kind of throw it out there, but I'm throwing it out there that we want to have a little bit of a testimony time or opportunity for you to take time to bring glory to God. That got into my thoughts of my words and how powerful and important words are. We've been coming off of the Joshua study and the glory days, and we'll kind of hang in there a little bit, but today I'm going to just kind of branch off a little bit and pull off of that. And I want to discuss about some of our words that we say or not to say, and how that affects my life and how it affects the life around me. And I think most of us here today realize that you know your words are important. You know what your words can do. You know that words can help you or hurt you. They can build you up or they can knock you down, you know? So we know all of that. But we also sometimes need to reflect upon it and refresh ourselves to what God says about our words. We find that as we go throughout the day that we have many opportunities that come our way to talk. How many here talk throughout the day? And so as we do that, we find that we can speak positive, or you can do what? Speak negative of things. And we want to see a lot, well, we see a lot of that today and the things that are taking place. I mean, sad to say, great, now we got another presidential election coming up and everybody just pulling all the stops out to tell how bad the other person is, you know. But that's where we're at in our society, I suppose. But we find that these words are either positive or negative. They either build up or they'll tear down. God in his word tells us about these things. If I go to Ephesians, you want to turn to Ephesians, feel free to. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for the necessary edification or the building up, that it may impart grace to the receiver of what you're saying, to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, let that loud quarreling and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you or forgave you. And so we find that in an encouragement. It's something that we need to look at to do and to put into our life. But the thing is, it's let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. How has this week been for you? Just answer that to yourself. Raise your hand inside. Well, I had a few corrupt words go out, but, you know, not as many as last week maybe or something like that. So I bring that up to this level of where I was at is, and I'd shared already in Sunday school and some with Wednesday nights past and all that, but I have the privilege, and it is a privilege, to be able to go out and share the gospel, the message of God with people outside in the community, right? It's a powerful privilege to go out into your job and to be an example. And so for many, many, many months, for many years now, once a month, I have an opportunity to go to a facility here in town and share with the residents that are there in a community room. Usually it all goes well, but there's always people that are there that don't want to leave the room because they like to have their card games, they like to have their coffee, they like to do whatever. It's a community-type setting. But they know at church time that they've got to leave, and sometimes they go out like they don't want to. I've had times where I've held the service there, and it goes from like 1 o'clock till about 2, maybe about 1:45 or so. I've had them standing at the door where I'm still sharing and kind of wrapping it up, and I'm looking out these double doors with glass everywhere, and I'm seeing 2 people, 5 people, 6 people. They're just standing at the door. It's like, they're storming the wall, you know. Lord, shut the door, hold it up there. And so it's like, okay, let's wrap this up, you know, type of a thing. And, you know, we try to because of trying to honor and respect their time and things that we do there. And so that's always worked to a point. We've had some tussles back and forth, and we've had times when we've been in a message time and people come in and they kind of get into the back area and they talk a little bit and then they leave. But while they're back there doing some things, we'll have the people that are up in the front rows, the ladies generally that are there, they start looking over, and I've had them go back there, and I've had them look over back to the chairs and go, shh. I don't live here. That's okay. So you know what that's about. And those things happen. And this last time back that I had the opportunity to go there, I'd shared, and some already know the story, about where I got into the hallway just before I got to that room, and a lady came out, and I could hear her. She was like probably from, when I was walking there, it was probably from like from Pat to me. As soon as she came out of the door, I heard her say, "Oh, he's here today." I thought, oh, okay. I should have looked around at who. But it took me off guard to the point of my flesh. I could hear it, oh, he's here today. And so now she's walking my way, I'm walking her way. I'm kind of looking at her, and I say, "Hi, how's your day going?" "I guess okay. Everything seems to be okay." "Oh, good." And as we get closer and she's right about here, I say, "You're looking good." And as she passes by, she says, "Thank you." And I didn't even look at her face when I said that, to the point of I saw her face. I said that, "You're looking good, and you know, you're looking well," or something like that. And she was back here, and she says, "Well, thank you." So that sets me up to what? Think like, how's the rest of the day going to go there? Boy, here we go, Lord. Test number one. My response in that hallway or that foyer area, began to set the whole pivotal time of that rest of the 45 minutes or the hour that I was going to be there. So now I go into the room, and there's a good group of them sitting back in this back, and I'm sitting up there, and there's two or three ladies already sitting there, and they're coming in, and I'm going through a hymnal and picking out some hymns to sing, and I'm kind of sitting where I can face those that are back at the table because they're the enemy. You don't turn your back on the enemy. And I'm just watching them and whatnot. And I'm thinking, as I'm picking out choruses and songs and the hymns and all, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what is going to go on today? This is, I don't even want, now I'm at the point, I'm sitting at the table after 10 minutes, I don't even want to be there. Greater is he that is in me. We got a mission to fulfill. So I keep picking my songs, and as I'm going, now it's like 12:15, 12:20, 12:25, it's now 12:30, 12:35-ish. There's a few more people coming in back there. I go, oh my God, they've called reinforcements. It's like there's a plan. What's going on here? It's just me and like four or five little old ladies up there. We're going to take on the rest. It's like, no, not with God. But anyway, so, you know, I'm thinking, well, they'll kind of clear out. You know, quarter till, they'll kind of pick up and go. And they didn't. Another one comes in and he says, "Hey, I got a box of donuts." Oh, Lord. "I got this, I got that," and they're filling up the tables back there, you know. Now it's like 20 till, or maybe 10 till, and I'm going, oh, Lord, should I go pull a fire alarm? Just empty the place out and I can leave? All these things are playing around in your mind. All these things I'm seeing in the natural, things that are taking place, that I'm seeing as a deterrent. That I'm seeing that, how am I going to respond? How am I going to stand up to these people? What am I going to do? As it got up to the time we began to have the service, we began to sing the first hymn. They were still kind of talking, and as we began to sing, one little lady up there that kind of organizes it, I saw her, because I'm kind of watching all this because I'm in enemy territory, I think. I see her whip back and look back at them, you know. Oh, boy. Now the volleys are going to start flying, you know. I hope they just throw a good donut. That's all I want. Just throw a donut. I'll take it. So they, you know, she looks back there, and all of a sudden we're singing. I thought, you know what? As I began to sing, I just began to sing louder. Singing is just like talking, but louder. That's what Elf says. And so I began to sing, and it's all a cappella. There's no instruments there. We're just singing, and these ladies are helping me along, and we just have to project it out there. But when you start singing hymns, when you start singing things that were written and penned to things of God, what God did in lives back in the 1800s and the early 1900s or wherever these hymns come from, there's a powerful force that goes out. God works through those songs as well as he does work through these scriptures. Don't you believe that? I do. And so we just begin to sing. And I begin to sing a little bit louder. And I begin to get a little bit more stronger, you know. And all of a sudden, I began to notice back there that everything shut up. All of a sudden, I began to notice those that had their back to me turned around. And they're starting to pay attention. I thought, well, that's a good sign. So we go through this whole time of service of two hymns. I was going to do a third one, but I came off of it. I don't even know if I have my flyer here that I had there, what song I came off of. But whatever it was, it juiced me up, man, because we took off with it, with the things of God. Now, you got to understand, when you're ministering into a group of people that are mixed company, mixed religions, no religions, hurt from religion, doctrinal differences probably, whatever, religiosity, how are you going to approach that? Well, I approached it that my God is a good God. I don't know what you have dealings with God about, but I know that my God is a good God. Even though I've gone through some struggles and we've had some situations, and I explained some things that have happened in our lives early on with the death of two little kids in a fire, my niece and nephew. I said, even though that happened, and I was a junior or sophomore in high school, why was that happening, Lord? But I said, I can tell you this, that my God is still a good God. And so I'm not saying that I haven't had problems and things that I could look back at and hold a trophy of saying, look at the misery and the sufferings that we've been through as a family. But I know that God was there and God took us through those things. And I said, no matter what somebody tries to persuade me about what my God is not, you will not do that because I've seen God move in my life too many times. I'm setting it up, guys, that I'm telling them already, you might be negative towards God, but you're not going to sway me about my God. Might have been some of that glory day stuff coming out of me. You know, they don't know what I'm loaded up with, man. I'm loaded for bear. I was chicken at first. Because I wanted to get out of there. It's like, I don't want to be there. So I go through all of that, and they began to share things. And they took part of the service, and I didn't even get into the message. I tell you what, I didn't even open up my Bible, but things began to pour out of me of God by that of the Holy Spirit, of the things of God and his messages that he said to me and that he said to you as well. But it began to just one thing threaded to another, to another, to another. And I believe to touch the hearts of those residents that were there somehow in some way. Maybe not all of them. But if nothing else, it puts something into them. Well, I look back at that today, and I called the lady after that the next day, and I said, wow. I said, that was a different service. Use the lady's name. And she goes, Pastor Tim, it sure was. She goes, I've never seen that happen before, you know. And I'm like, me neither, you know. Very well received, because it was the message of God. But I believe, to say all that, to say this, to get us back to the words that we speak, is when that lady came out of that door and she said, oh, he's here today. My flesh wanted to say, you're ugly. No. But it wanted to say, well, I love you too. Or, you know, you want to come back with something because it just, I rate you, oh, you're here today. Well, you're just like, oh. But I thank God, and I shared this, and you have to understand that the Holy Spirit in us will lead us and guide us and direct us and keep us from saying things if we allow him to move in our lives. Wait a minute, guys. Is that thing hooked up there for that slide there? One of the things we want to look at, be sure to taste your words before you spit them out. Yeah, because I was wanting to spit out some vile things at first. Why is that? Because I'm human. I have fleshly things in me that, you know, when somebody says that to you, you're just wanting to slap them upside the face or just like, what are you talking about, woman? I've not done anything bad to you. It's just because I come in and you got to leave your room and you can't have your coffee clutch for 45 minutes, you know. And she was the one that came in and out while I was getting my songs picked out. She kept going in and out of the back there at them tables. I thought, oh, Lord, if she comes in here and stays, I don't know what's going to happen. But I believe in my spirit, and as I reflect back and ask God how things developed, I believe that the way I responded, or I should say the way that I did not respond, the way I wanted to type of thing, set up the rest of that service time there in that facility. Yes, I was a little timid. I told her that afterwards when I was talking to her on the phone. I said, to tell you the truth, I was a little timid when I went in there because of I could just sense hostility. I could just sense that you're not in an area that's normally yours. We share that a lot, that inside the church and inside these confines, there's a sense of, hey, it's the word of God. This is a church. This is what we preach. You go out there, you're in an area that is not yours, so to speak. Now, granted, we can look at it and claim it, and as God puts us there, we can take authority and all those things that we can do and will do. But generally, you're there, and you're saying, I'm outside my sphere of influence, so to speak. Maybe it's I'm outside where I feel comfy. We all have a comfort zone, don't we? Pastors probably love the church because it's very comfortable. Because most of you know about Jesus and received Christ, and you know, it'd be nice if we had some sinners come in here to where we get them saved and receive the Spirit of God in them. So when you get out there, it's like you're outside your normal areas of working and understanding of things. That's why when you do situations with the police department and you're talking to people in their homes and things about things of God, you have a tenderness there of understanding like you're really not on your turf. You know, you've got to kind of use wisdom by the Holy Spirit to what you share, what you don't share, how you share it, what you say, how you say it, what you don't put false hope in there. But you always hang on to things of the Spirit of God, lead and direct me and guide me. So I believe as I was preparing to walk in there and what that lady set me up for, the enemy was trying to get my dander up so that I would respond in a fleshly way, in some way of not really maybe being nasty, but just like, you know, we could have a conversation there. Like, what do you mean by that I'm here today? What's wrong? And who knows where it would have gone from there? South, probably. But the Lord just kept me walking. And evidently the Spirit helped me taste my words before I was going to spit them out. And I was able to quickly do a quick change in my thoughts to at least say, good afternoon, how are you doing? You're looking well. And went into the room. After the whole thing was done and we accomplished, I thought, man, this is, and it was just going along and moving along, you know, and I thought, wow, it's a time. And it was like, by then it was only like 20 after and 25 after. I thought, oh, I thought it was going to be, you know, like time to shut this thing down. We got more time. And so we shared more and more and more. And then after the whole thing was over, you know what? I went back to the table of those people back there. And I said, so, and I kind of know what they do there, but I was acting like, you know, hey. I said, so you guys have coffee and donuts like every Wednesday then after this? No, we do it every day. I go, oh, okay. I said, well, hey, that looks good. This one lady says, well, here, you want a cup of coffee? They were welcoming me into their group. And I had another thing I had to get to. And I said, well, no, really, I don't have time. I gotta go somewhere and be somewhere at a certain time. But, I said, but do you have a to-go cup? Well, yeah, I'll go back in the kitchen and get a cup for you to take with you. I will thank you. So she pours it, brings it out to me. Now I'm sitting there talking, and I'm just kind of looking. I was waiting. I see some donuts down there, and I go down there. And there's these donuts that are just cake donuts. There's nothing on them. But I ask them. I said, hey, when I came in here, when you guys brought these in here, did they have chocolate icing on them, and you guys licked off all the chocolate? And they start laughing. Joy, humor, getting into their sphere of where they're at. Man, I feel like I could go there any Wednesday or any day now and sit down and have a cup of coffee and a donut. And I did have a donut. And I sat there and talked, and then I said, I lied to you. I'm sorry. I'm still standing here talking to you, and I could have, but I did leave after I had the donut and I took the coffee with me. But I see and sense a total change in the sphere of what was going on in that place. Not by me. Only thing that I had to do with it was what? Be obedient. The only thing I had to do and lay hold of is to be led by the Holy Spirit. And to not be fearful like I began to be fearful. And to begin to sing a hymn that was powerful things of what Jesus has done and the power of the God of the blood and all this type of stuff. And what was that doing? That was probably building me up to the point to where then the message went forth of what needed to be shared. And I don't know what the ripple effect will be. Only God does. But I thank God that we had that opportunity to share. That was probably one of the most intended services there. Now, in the front, there was like 8 or so or 9 people here. Back there, there was like 12 or 10, 12, 11, 13 back there. Because it's like they're around this 3 or 4 tables wide or long, you know. And that's powerful. That's good. That's exciting. The thing is, I got to look at my calendar. I think I go back there either not this Wednesday, but a week from now. So we'll see what happens. Stay tuned. But in our life today, and where we're in our homes and our jobs, wherever we're at, you will be throwing things at you that you will either allow it to stick to you or you will allow it to fall off of you and allow the things of God to flow out of you. And so we've got to be cautious of that because, just like this says, be sure to taste your words before you spit them out. Because what do we know and what does God say? You can't call back those words. If I would have responded negatively, I would have been chastised in my spirit, I know, and I don't know how the service would have gone, because you know what would have happened? I would have been sitting at the table, the Holy Spirit in me would have said, Tim, that was not the proper way to respond. God's word says the words are like honey as you share them and speak them out. And those words will either drive people away from God or draw people to God. Maybe not right then, but it's a point of a time of God's setting them up to how they need to be talked to. Why is that? Well, I had my notes here. Now I lost my place here. So we've talked about Ephesians here, real quick. That let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for a necessary edification. I wanted to be an encouragement to that lady. I wanted to, you know, You're in a place, and I don't know what their whole life is about and what they've gone through. A lot of the times when they begin to share some things, they've been through some rough times, and you know, they've hurt. And I had this one time where, actually, I don't know if anybody else has been there, but they offered, or the one lady asked me sometime back. She says, "Well, Pastor Tim, would you offer communion to us?" I said, "Sure." You know, I said, "We can do that." I prefaced it before I gave it to them about what communion was about. You're not joining our church, but you need to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to know who He is in your life. You need to surrender to Him. You need to know that He has forgiven your sins. So most of them took it. Now some, you know, I said, now, if you don't take it, I said, you're not going to hurt my feelings. I said, this is up to you. You just receive it as what you would want to do, but this is what it's about and why we do it. So you go down, I'll take it. And then this one go, okay, that's okay. You know, just go on. Don't make a big thing out of it. Maybe I don't know what was in there. Went to one poor lady, bless her heart. And she says, I can't take it. I said, really? She goes, no, I'm of a particular faith. I'm divorced. And my church says that I can't take communion anymore. Man destroys so much of what God is about. Man puts the stumbling blocks out there. That wasn't even Satan that put that stumbling block out there. I wouldn't even give Satan the credit for that. That was a dogmatic thing of a particular religion, of a denomination, of saying this is how it's to be done, this is what it's about, this is how you can take it, this is what we will allow. What we will allow, not what God will allow, but what we will allow in our confines and how you're going to take it. I felt so bad for that lady. Wasn't a whole lot that I could do there. Actually, she didn't tell me there at the thing. She told me out in the hallway as I was leaving. She was on her walker pushing her thing, and I walked by her. I said, well, have a good day. She goes, well, the reason why I couldn't take communion is because I'm divorced, and my church says I can't take communion anymore. Man. One good thing about that, God will have his time with that person that told her that. And if that person is of learnedness, and if that person is representing the things of God, they are held to a higher accountability than anything else. And God, I think, will have his day with that person. Because we've got a person there that can't take communion because of this situation in their life. Whatever happened to forgiveness? Why did Jesus die? What was that all about then? Did Jesus die to give power to man? So that man could make and manipulate and do the things that they want to do with the kingdom of God? No. But some things and organizations, religions and denominations and groups out there, they have taken that freedom from that and they've decided to put their decide in what they want to do for the kingdom of God. So I really felt bad, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to. And I think, poor thing, I think she's in age to the point to where it's so ingrained and embedded into her thoughts and her thing that it'll take some time to visit with her and to really say, but if they're a staunch whatever, it's going to be hard to get in there and pull that out. You know, as much as you try to sit there and say, this is what it's about, this is what Jesus said, and this is why you can do it, this is all you need to do, this is how it's received. Yeah. So, I count it a privilege to be able to minister in that facility. Because I'm touching and going into areas and things that I'm a pretty simple guy. Pretty simple what God says. If he says it, I believe it. It doesn't take a rock to fall on me to sit there and I've got to diagnose it and dissect it and figure it all out. But anyway, so, you know, there's a lot of situations that have developed and has come out of that there. But here it gets back to continue to have inroads in there. I believe your speech has to be right. I believe you have to walk in that ability because here's where I want to, I've got a lot of things here, but I'm going to go to Proverbs 16. Oh, gosh, we're going to shoot time here. Proverbs 16:24, it says that pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. If my words are going to be sweet, if my words are going to be that filled by that of the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit, if I have truly in my life have totally, as much as I continue to and on a daily basis, sell out to more of things of God and to ask God more into my life, then more of the things that I say should be in response to what God is about. Amen? It should not be me saying it and what I want to say. It should be what he says and what he wants to be known as and what he says it is about. And so we've got to disconnect. I've got to disconnect. You've got to disconnect. And we've got to sit there and say, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. My vocal cords, my voice, whatever it is, whatever I'm saying, Lord, speak through me so that I can speak life into those people, so I can speak hope into those people. I can speak encouragement into those people because they still have breath. They're still on this side of the dirt. You know, and if they're struggling, I want them to hear good things and maybe they can change or whatever it needs to be. And, you know, we have times of prayer there. It's like, hey, you know, is there anything I could pray with you about? I had a lady there this last time that she usually, for whatever reason, I don't know, I thought we were getting along pretty good, but she's been leaving every time I've gotten there. But this last time she stayed there. And she says, Tim? I said, what do you mean call me Tim? You call me Pastor Tim. No, I didn't say that. You know, some people in the clergy get pretty bent out of shape if you don't say, oh, I'm a reverend. I'm a doctor of whatever. Yeah, right. So I said, yeah, what is it? She goes, my great-granddaughter, she fell. This was about 4 years old, broke her hip or something like that. 4 years old, slid on ice or something like that several weeks back. We prayed about that and have been holding it up in prayer. And so we had prayer for that. But there's times and things that there we'll share with us things of like, you know, what can we pray about? And then as we have a closing prayer there, I just ask the peace of God to infiltrate that facility. See, I'm there. It's not my building. I don't live there. But while I'm there and my soles and my feet are treading there, I'm going to claim it for God and I'm going to say, Lord, let your peace flow through these floors. Let everyone in this place just know you of an understanding of how good you are as a God and how loving you are and encouragement and strength and healing to come into this place, Lord. You know, the sum of it is, guys, is that there are some people that I see, I can see there this last month, and when I go there next month, they could be gone because of health situations. We've had situations like that. This one person didn't even have a church home, and they called me to hold her service because we built up a relationship. See, these are all these things that happen outside of church. These are the things that there's probably been more times where I've had more services at times for people outside the church, whether it's weddings and funerals, than I've had for people inside the church. But that's okay with me. I'll share love of God everywhere with people that need it and people that are hurting. So, you know, you build up those things, and God puts you in those positions and those places to share His Word, to share that example that's out there. And it's to be that. As I look at my thoughts today and as I reflect a little bit on this about, you know, the words that we have, the words that we share, and the sweetness that we can either draw them to God by the things of what I say, or I could just chastise them and just belittle them, and then I'm going to go in there and I'm going to hold a service, and then I'm going to say, who wants God in your life? And let me pray with you. They'll say, well, you hypocrite. Well, I don't want what you've got because that wasn't very nice what you said to me, you know? And they might have said, I might have deserved it, but you being a pastor, you should know better. Doesn't it say turn the other cheek? Doesn't it say to forgive 7 times 70? Doesn't it say? It's amazing how many people outside the church know more about what goes on than sometimes us in the church. But I think as I, and all of us really, and you guys are here today, you're saying, well, you're a pastor, but you're all ministers of the gospel. You all have that charge to go out and to be that minister of the gospel, of the good news out there. And so you are at a higher calling. You are at a level that God expects. Believe it or not, guys, God expects more out of you. Now, don't run out of here scared and don't say, that's it, I don't want no more. But to him that is given much, much is required. Don't let that scare you. Continue to receive all that God has for you. But if I do, then he's going to expect more of me. Yeah, so what? You scared? Why are you scared to give God all of you? Why are you scared to receive more of him? Well, because he's going to expect more out of me. Well, what's wrong with that? He's God. Oh, that sign out there by the road, he's got your back. Why don't you give him your heart? He's there for you. And so our words can do a lot. And as I reflect back even a few weeks, and all of a sudden it hit me last night as I was toying with several different directions here of where to focus this in, I wanted to bring that example only because it's something that I tell you what, I learned it and that was a learning time for me at that facility. I say it all the time, well, I should say all the time. A lot of the times I say things that when I go through a circumstance out there or even in here, that if that's like my spirit goes, what do I say? What is it, Lord, that you're trying to show me? What is it, Lord, that I'm to learn? What is it, Lord, that you're wanting to help me grow into a greater person for you that I'm going to use this as a, you're using this as an example. You're using this to raise me up to another level possibly. And so you hit that, and I had that, and I began to think that. And that was another thing as I was going through trying to get the songs. My spirit is talking to God like, God, what was that all about? God, what is this? What is that? What is this? How is this going to work? All these things. And I believe, I say it again, that my response out in that hallway set the response of what was going to take place inside that room. Because it brings a difference within the whole thing there. God brings peace. God brings just a level. It's like, You know, I didn't see anything angel-wise. I didn't see smoke. I didn't see anything there. But when it's quiet, there's a sense of God there. You know, when you're looking back and you see people that they're focusing on what you're saying and they're listening to what you're saying, God is there. And it's like, oh my goodness. I said, we didn't even get to the third hymn that I have picked out, but we sang it at the end when we closed out. So if I go back to Ephesians, where we started in 4, where we talked about what? Let no corrupt word and all that proceed out of your mouth. I want to look at this area here, just a little study on it and a little example of how it does here. It says here, proper speech is crucial to effective Christian living. Proverbs points out that life and death are in the power of the tongue. How important it is for us to realize that our speech can be spiritually motivated. We talks about here too, be careful how you speak and what you say. Reject evil attitudes and develop compassionate, forgiving attitudes toward others. I had to forgive that lady, even I don't even know her name. But I had to, in my conversations back to her, I forgive you for saying that. You know, I didn't say that, but I think in my response back to her, I wasn't going to go down to her road. I was staying on my road. I took, as we would call it, I guess, the high road of a situation, of an event that was taking place, and I could either get down where she was at, or I could be up here and deal with it from up here and trust that God maybe eventually will bring her up to that level. Not that my level is super duper and very spiritual and all that, but I believe it's a level that we walk with God as an example, as a testimony of what God is in our life. And if you're going to try to save or salvation and have people come to Christ, you've got to be an example that goes over and above the normal of what's out there. You can't just be well, you're okay. I watched sometime back the Courageous video again, about the police officer and his daughter was killed in an accident, and you guys know Courageous, but off police officers and things like that. And maybe not, I'm saying that. But anyway, after his daughter died, that's when he puts together this thing of courageous, men of integrity, men of what God wants, you know. And one of the guys tells him, well, you've been a good enough father. And this guy says, good enough ain't going to cut it. Good enough's not good enough. I want to be better. See, we have a way of getting into ourselves into an understanding of, well, you know what? I'm a pretty good believer. I'm a pretty good Christian. I pretty well manage my things of thoughts and words and things of giving God the time of whatever he's wanting me to do or whatever. I'm pretty good at that. Well, that's not good enough. Really, it's a process that we want to get better. We want to continue to grow. We want to continue to develop into greater things that God has. One of the powerful things that he's going to work with and through us on is the tongue. What's this next thing say? Come on, man. What's this say now? I got to put my glasses on. Therefore, caution, guard your tongue. Perhaps we can control that unruly tongue after all. But to do so, we require what? Constant. Look at that. Ooh, constant. Attention to who we are and what God has made us to be. What has God made you to be? I'm going to tell you, a lot of it is decided. A lot of people can tell right away when it starts to talk. When you start sharing, when you start talking, when you start whatever it is, this will tell them instantly just about. Phew, a follower, a fan, a believer, it's good enough. And I've got things that I'm still working on. How about you? But I look back as a testimony today as how God showed up in that situation of how he was there and how my response was framed by what he would want to say, not by what I wanted to say. By what I had to disconnect from me and say, what would you do, God? WWJD, WWJD. I don't know, what would Jesus do? And then what did he do? All these things that come up to that thought process. Somehow, some way, we've got to, and God controls those times, and I think sometimes in our spirit, it's amazing. It's like when Joshua, you know, you get to that battle. We may get there, I don't know, but if you go through Joshua and he got into that battle, and while they were battling, he prayed to the Lord to do what for the sun? Stand still. Keep the sun there, Lord, so we can deal with this battle and accomplish it. And God did that, and that's the only time I think it says that he ever has done that. But I wonder sometimes in those things, as I'm walking and she's saying my thoughts and all that, was there just a split millisecond of time that stopped just long enough for the Spirit to get a hold of this flesh in my brain to say, don't say that. Think what? Before I spit them words out, man. You know, taste my words before I spit them out. Let it be just a millisecond or whatever the case is. If you're thinking you're going to say it, just give God the respect to speak into you for a little bit real quick, okay? And he will do that because he wants good things to come out of us, all of us. Because we're that example. We are representing. We are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. We are representing him in this sphere of influence. And when they look at Terry, they don't see Terry when she's talking of things of God. They see God working out of her, or out of Al, or Wayne, or Julie, or any one of us. As we speak, we're oracles of him, and he's working through us because he's got an assignment to the point where he's got a plan and a purpose for that person, and you've gotten in contact with that, and somehow you're in part of that whole process of God working into that person's life. Isn't that exciting that he's using you? Whoo, God! Because he loves you so much and he can begin to trust you and he's got much in you and he's going to say, you're going to pour it out, it's going to be okay, and yeah, you're going to mess up, but I'm going to forgive you, and then we're going to go on, and you'll mess up and I'll forgive you, and we're going to go on. Keep going on with God. Don't stop just because you mess up and think it's all gone. The enemy will say, failure, you're not going to go now. You've lost God. God's not liking you. No. God will forgive you. Amen. But wow, it's pretty neat to think that he's using us, you know. And he uses the least of us sometimes that we don't even understand. We don't even understand a lot of his word other than we just know it's in us and we just know he's a loving God and we know that Jesus died for us and for me and for all. And excuse me, I got to take a hit off of oxygen. Get going, man. Great deal of good and a great deal of harm can result from the ways in which we use our tongues. Proverbs 18:21 tells us death and life. What we say and the things that we talk about most frequently and naturally reveal what is in our minds and what dominates our thinking. For as a man, what? Thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Keep your mind set on the things of God. I wish I could tell you that 100% of the time I'm doing that. But I'd be lying. I'm trying it. I'm trying to get better. I'm working on it. You know, other things come along this life too. Don't, you know, it's we're working with you guys. What you thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew. Holy Spirit led and inspired James to write what he wrote, you know. And that's the thing, being filled with the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. What would we be like here today without the Holy Spirit? What would have happened if it had just been instead of triune is three, what's two? Tri? I don't know. Wayne, do you know? Like two would be? Like I remember the twins for double mint gum, double mint, you know, but you know, what happened? It was just God and Jesus. Now Jesus is gone, and he's in the right hand of God the Father, and now we're just down here. We're just dealing with it, man. How's this going to work, God? How am I going to be led? How am I going to hear from you? How? But in his design from very part of creation before it all got started, there was going to be the God, there's going to be Jesus, and there's going to be the Holy Spirit, the three in one. And so now we have the ability, the luxury to thank God for the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and put these things in us to say, thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about it in Colossians 4, 6, the believer's speech should always be with grace. The things that we say and do not, the things we say and do not say reveal our spiritual conditions. Can you believe? Wow. The things that you don't say reveal your condition? I always remember my one aunt. Bless her heart. And I just, isn't that weird what some things always are somehow in your thoughts and they just stay there? And this goes back, I don't know, it's got to be back into the 60s or so. It's like, if you don't have anything good to say about someone, don't say it. If you don't have something good to say, just don't say it. Better not to say anything than to say something and spout off something that's like not good, that's fleshly. So, there's things that we don't say that are good. Things that you don't say reveal how you are as well. Conversations with friends and family and all that, if you get into the gutter talk and you get down there with them, that's not a good testimony. If you excuse yourself and say, hey, you know, I don't really need to hear that, it's not really something that I'm a part of, just excuse yourself, you can let them talk all they want about whatever they want to talk about. I'm not saying you got to do what I've got to do and, ooh, I'm better than you. But I just don't need to be around that stuff. How many times when they, it's amazing, you know, bless their hearts, you know, you get around sometimes police department and the police officers and you're out there with them and they let loose with some words and then all of a sudden they look up and they go, oh, sorry. I said, hey, man, it's okay. I've heard those words before, you know. But it's like, and that's one of the hardest things to kind of break is like, oh, man, we don't want pastors or chaplains around us. Then we got to talk right. You know, we can't let off with these four-letter words and this and that. And blah, 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 all this multicolored language that they want to use. It's like, hey, it's not going to hurt me, you know. And I've never heard them take God's name in vain. It's just all this other street talk that you hear. I said, hey, hey, hey. So anyway, it goes on. If we are obedient to his teachings and leading, we will go on a spiritual maturity. We will be on a spiritual maturity, and our thoughts and our tongues will be under his control. 1 Peter 2 and 1 and 2. So as you go through, you know, the Word of God, it's so many things in there in regards to this tongue that we have and the things that he's given us to say. And so we understand, and I know you guys already understand the power that's there, but I know we all deal with stuff. And I say things that I wish I hadn't. I say things that I wish I could call back, but you can't call it back. You know, I don't know what happens after that. You just have to ask for God's grace and his mercy and then ask for forgiveness and hopefully that, you know, well, however it works out, and you just it works out. But let your life and an example be to those things of what people want to see of your God, because that's what they're looking at. You know, does anybody have anything they want to share real quick, anything about a testimony or anything like that that God's working through you on or something like that? Open that up for you. You know, we got this. Didn't even talk about the Super Bowl. That's okay.